And welcome back to the Sundance Reel. I'm Leslie Thatcher, along with my co-host today, Katie Wang. Well, with some 350,000 mentally ill people sleeping on the streets every night, psychiatrist turned filmmaker Kenneth Paul Rosenberg knows firsthand how mental illness affects families. He's made the film Bedlam. It's a documentary that examines our broken mental health policies. He's joined by Patrice Cullors, the co-founder of Black Lives Matters, whose brother Monty is featured in this film and also again suffers from mental illness. Welcome both to the Sundance Reel.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Kenneth, you named the film Bedlam, the first ever mental health asylum that, what, opened in the 1800s?
Oh, actually opened in the Middle Ages. It was one of those. Probably there are other mental health institutions, mental asylums, but that was the most renowned and seems to be the world's first. And we named it Bedlam because it's not about Bedlam at all, but it's really about the chaos and the craziness that we now call our mental health care delivery system.
So what, maybe, here's the Cliff Notes version of mental health policy. But I mean, here in the U.S., I mean, mental health institutions no longer exist. I mean, outside of jails, as we learned with Monty's story. I mean, how did this massive failure of our mental health institutions start?
Well, mental health institutions do exist, but unfortunately, they're few and far between, and they're available for the wealthy. And even for the wealthy, I have to add, there is no cure. There is no treatment. People think they could fix this with money or cleverness, and that sure as heck is not the case. But for the most part, people of color, people who are marginalized, people who are not in a position to be able to take care of things with, you know, vast fortunes of money, have to kind of depend, as Tennessee Williams says, on the kindness of strangers. And right now, those strangers are de facto mental institutions, and those are our jails. Our largest hospitals, our largest treatment centers are our largest jails, literally our jails.
Well, you bring up the fact that there's a clip from President Kennedy, who also, of course, you mentioned, had a mentally ill sister, Rosemary, who underwent a very messed up lobotomy.
It was the lobotomy of the day, and they were all pretty messed up, if you ask me.
He was calling for, at the time, more community-based treatments. And then after that, I mean, that's when we saw the destruction of them. I mean, you show the wrecking ball.
I mean, a very well-meaning and brilliant man and a brilliant plan to introduce community-based mental health, which we very much need now in this country. But perhaps a bit naive, because you can't just get rid of the asylums. There were no cures for mental illness. The community did not accept the mentally ill with the open arms and warmth that he said in his many speeches. He also didn't count on the fact that, you know, some 10, 20 years later, Republican administrations would really annihilate those community mental health centers. And then we would be left with the streets and the jails.
Let's bring you into it, Patrice, the conversation. Monty, your brother, he's a large black man. He goes to jail, and I'm just wondering, I mean, is it because of his size, because of his skin color? Of course, I mean, mentally ill, but that's where he ends up, is jail, because there's just nowhere else for him.
I think what happens in black communities in particular, especially with racism, is black folks don't get the kind of early intervention needed because they're not identified as sick. Instead, they're identified as criminals. And Monty, from a very early age, was criminalized for his mental illness. And what you see in the film is sort of the cycle of incarceration and the impact that it has on him as someone as a mentally ill person. You see it on Todd as well, the other subject in the film. And I think what ends up happening when you don't have a community to support you or family to support you is you will continue to cycle through the system that is clearly denying people their ability to have dignity, denying people their ability to have the care that they need. And it's unfortunately, there's many, many Montys. There's also a part in the film where we look at the death of Ezell Ford, who had schizophrenia, and everybody knew it in the community. The police knew it. He was never violent, never had a history of violence, and he was shot and killed by LAPD. And so there is this larger conversation that we have to be having about the intersections of policing, criminalization, and mental illness, and how racism and poverty really compounds that.
Well, talk a little bit about that, because the filming of this documentary, of course, was where we saw the group Black Lives Matter rise up. And of course, you are a big part of that. I mean, talk a little bit about how your brother's experience inspired your activism.
Well, when I first started to do activism, I was 16 years old. And it had a lot to do with me feeling very upset with the way the conditions were in my neighborhood and in my community. I grew up witnessing a mass criminalization in my neighborhood. Many people in my family were taken off to the county jail system and ended up doing state prison time. And many of it was for nonviolent offenses, is either for drug use or some sort of mental health issue. And that was across the board of my family. And we never received the ability to have rehabilitation or even competent mental health care. So as I grew up and found out that there was ways that I can change the system, I gravitated towards activism and organizing. And much of my organizing work has been inspired by my brother. I started a local organization called Dignity and Power Now. And when I met Ken, we were pushing to fight to end a mental health jail in our county, which we're still fighting right now. And then a year later, I would go on to start Black Lives Matter.
So we've done away with most of the asylums, and we know jails and prisons aren't the answer. So what is it? What we haven't talked about is the science and big pharma here.
Oh, my God. Well, there's so much that needs to be done. You know, we are, with a serious mental ill, nowhere where we should be. We're using the same molecules and some of the same drugs that we used 70 years ago. We have not advanced. And that's largely because we haven't had people like Patrice. We haven't had people advocate and say, this is ridiculous, this is absurd, this is tragic. And we have to kind of come out of the shadows. And frankly, in the film, I come out of the shadows with my own story. And because people like Patrice have embraced the shadows and said, you know, I love my brother. He's an amazing person. He also has a serious mental illness. And I'm not going to be shut out and allow him and the rest of us to be criminalized. And that will change things. That will change things for what is particularly important for me as a psychiatrist and a filmmaker. Research and treatment. We definitely need psychiatric treatment beds, and we definitely don't need any more mental health jails, in my opinion. But what we need is treatment that's effective and approaches that are effective and don't throw people in jail cells, but put them in treatment and look for cures or certainly better treatments.
All right. Again, as you kind of mentioned, though, I mean, Big Pharma is really the only one that's done anything with it, but they're selling plenty of drugs, just selling what they're selling. So, I mean, we need an objective third party to step in here.
Well, I think we need people to say, we're just not going to take it anymore. I mean, that's what the HIV community did. It's still a dreadful disease, but not a death sentence. That's what the breast cancer community did, also a dreadful disease, but not necessarily a death sentence. The treatments advance literally every month. You know, we find something new that's useful. So I think that people need to say, this is just not, well, acceptable, and not depend on the kindness of Big Pharma or on the kindness of this a good governor or a good president, but a sustained, undeterred, and unashamed advocacy movement.
I think to take it out of the shadows, too. I mean, that's your story, certainly, and it sounds like, you know, part of Patrice's story as well, but that there is this stigma against talking about mental health and not acknowledging
right.
it within your own family, that part of it is, you know, we used to not talk, you know, cancer used to be kind of whispered tones, but once it's brought out into the light, then there's more attention and seeing, you know, do these drugs actually have the effect that they're supposed to have? Or is it detrimental and it should be something else? Or is there another way to support the mentally ill within our communities? I mean, the part of that conversation has to be brought out into the light and become part of the common discourse, I think.
That's precisely
you know, beyond
right.
the infrastructure of the government.
Yeah, and that's what Patrice and I are trying to do, have that conversation that many people are ashamed to have. I venture to say most families are somewhat ashamed to have.
Mm-hmm. And I think even if, I mean, that then, of course, reflects back on the person that is mentally ill, right? Mm-hmm. Then they don't want to talk about it. And so if they're not taking, they don't want to take medication because it doesn't make them feel good, but yet they need that to be quote unquote normal. I mean, it's a complicated issue, obviously. Do you see, I was just reading something recently about California, that the it might be changing, there might be some hope on the horizon of some change?
Well, I think because of some of the people in the film, like Patrice Cowers and the new Governor Newsom, I think there is much reason for hope.
Fantastic.
I saw PBS on the, so is this going to be on PBS?
This will be on PBS after we have a theatrical run, God willing. We'll see what happens.
Oh, good. Theaters, yay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, again, thanks for sharing your story with us.
Thanks for having us.
Very important one to be told. Again, Wednesday the 30th, 9 o'clock at the library, and then again locally Friday the 1st, 6 p.m. at Redstone Cinema. You're listening to the Sundance Reel.